But she brought it to me. You know, one of the worst things you can do to an electronic gadget is give it to a woman. I'm very sorry. Jikamela, give it to a woman. Ah, God. I'm serious. A woman just don't, once the thing just didn't answer properly, they move back. If it's makeup, they can make it up several times, clean it, redo it. But once they press this button and Chike says it will say A, the button says B. Ah, Chike, come and see. This is not working. So when the gentleman came back to me, I looked at it. I said, an electronic gadget. First thing I checked, is the power broken? No, the power is still intact. I said, it's a small thing. I started searching for a reset button. I said, it must have a reset button. There's no electronic gadget that is made without somewhere to reset it to zero. So first, I pulled out the batteries. The thing was still faulty. I found some hidden batteries. You know, those lithium-ion batteries that can stay for years. I pulled those ones out and put them back in. Last of all, I discovered the reset. I took a pin, stuck into the reset, removed it, put the thing back on. It started working finally. Now, there's a test in everything. Before that thing started working, my wife first learned the lesson. God allowed us to discuss. Now, you follow my point. And she agreed that this is a loss. If this woman doesn't agree to take charge of this thing, and the other and we can't fix it, then I have to bear the loss. Now, why did I tell the story? Remember I said I prophesied that you'll be more honored than Cecilia Erivo. So all this one of selling toy today, sell clothes tomorrow, cosmetics today, I said, listen, every day you are learning how you will walk when you enter the promised land. Do you get my point? That's what we are doing. Each day, you are learning how you will walk when you get to the promised land. Today is 25,000 naira. A day is going to come, it will be 1 billion naira. If you couldn't take the loss on 25,000, you won't be ready to stomach 1 billion naira. And if God realized you will not stomach 1 billion naira, I said, then I will not make you one that will do business in hundreds of billions. You are going to embarrass me one day. Now, are you getting what I mean? The season of John the Baptist. We are learning repentance. You know, I said something last week that God has thoughts about everything. God has ideas. What you actually do, all right, in life that brings you to the position of breakthrough, what God gives you as an advantage as a child of God is wisdom. He said, he was talking to Timothy, he said, from your childhood, from your youth, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation, or which is able to give you the wisdom that begets salvation. I said, salvation is not, I have given my life to Christ. That is called reconciliation. When you go up and say, I repent of my sins, forgive me, what has happened is that you have been reconciled. He said, now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you got. Peace, not salvation. What is salvation? All the things that sin injected into your life, into the world, as they are being removed from you, that's what we call salvation. That's why he spoke to Timothy, that the scripture is able to make you wise. And that results in what? Salvation. So you know what God gives to the people? The wisdom for salvation. You know, when the children of Israel were entering into the promised land, he told them simply, I am taking you in, not because of your righteousness, but because I'm taking them out because of their own wickedness. Therefore, he warned them, if you do what they did, you will experience what they experienced. Let me say something to you. God can cross a land. I've said it before. Noah looked at his son, Ham, and cursed him. Moses recorded, cursed be Canaan. I said before, it was because the issue, if you read the account of Genesis, Moses was recording it from the creation down to Abraham. You follow what I mean? So that was the issue. He was recording why they had to go and take the land of Canaan. But in reality, the curse of Noah was upon all the descendants of Ham, including the black man. Descendants of Cush, that's what they are. I'm bringing out something. There's a curse upon them. It's causing them problems. It's causing calamity. But it doesn't just rain from heaven. That's what I want to say. They first do things that bring it to them. Do you understand my point? It doesn't just rain from heaven. They first do things that bring it to them. I've forgotten one particular man now. One of the priests of David. He served David faithfully for many years. But he was a descendant of Eli.
Do you understand my point?
Then one day, he betrayed David. And that was his judgment, that it might be fulfilled, the word of the Lord to Eli. Until he betrayed David, the judgment of Eli couldn't come upon him. I'm bringing out something. That though there was a curse upon him and all his descendants, each person does something to bring the curse down. You take a nation like Africa, take Nigeria. Why is this not working? Things are not working. Yes, I'm telling you, the foundation, all right, is a curse that's upon all of them. That is the nation, okay? But the pillars of destruction, like you have pillars of success, the pillars of failure are those things that people do. So, for example, what does God do when he wants to punish people? They will vote, and there will be three leaders, potential presidents. One of them will be as good as Abraham Lincoln. Do you know what I mean? Winston Churchill. And any great man you can think of put together. But God said, that one is a good man, but they are wicked people. They won't vote for him. Then the spirit will go into the air. Say, don't mind him. Don't vote for him. He's not from your area. You follow what I mean? No, listen. One day I was in school. This really happened. One of my neighbors, when I was on campus, a law student, Polo. Polo came around. They had this law students association. And he raked and raked and raked on how useless that guy is. How useless this guy is. How useless the fellow is. What is his problem? He thinks he can do this. After abusing the guy thoroughly, he made a statement. It was an election day. He said, anyway, I voted for him because he's from my place. I couldn't believe my ears. Is anyway, I voted for him, he's my brother. That's what kills Africa. Have you ever heard an American say, I voted for him because he's my brother? He said, his health care plan is useless. So I voted against him. Americans, a father will vote against his son. See, that boy is very stupid. He's a very stupid boy. And he will let everybody know, don't mind him, it's my son. But I think he's a nonsense boy. Say, why do you call him nonsense? Can you believe he said he's going to visit Iraq? What is he looking for in Iraq? No, that's how they behave. Please, I'm trying to arrange something. Is that okay? I'm talking about what God gives people is what wisdom. And when he wants to punish them, he takes wisdom away from them. So the people who vote at the end of the day, maybe they are Nigerians, they finally vote their brother into office, and he happens to be the goatiest of all three. So he starts, he gives $19 billion in contracts, you know, for power sector to all his useless friends, and that's the end. Your power will never work again. Turn around maintenance for refineries. He gives to his first son. And that boy says, my father gave me as a gift. Why should I do anything? And that's it. He started importing crude. It's not to see the cost just rained on the refinery or on the power sector. No. It's that people start making decisions that are wrong. Do you get what I'm saying? That's how the cost begins to come. And bring that the point. When the blessing is about to come also, first, there is a foundation of blessedness. And then God begins to teach wisdom that results in salvation. Do you get what I'm saying? First, there is what? A foundation of blessedness upon which you erect the pillars of success. So you have that foundation of blessedness, then God begins to show people what to do that brings forth salvation. That's what I'm saying. God begins to do what? Show people what to do that brings forth salvation. It doesn't just, you know, just pour the salvation upon them. So that's why before they get to the promised land, I'm back to what I was saying. He starts teaching them and choosing them. Like the story I told you about my wife, I said, the reason is because I said, this season, the way I see it, and not just, I'm just as an example, is everybody. Even me as a preacher. There will be times we'll have challenges because they let us see what we do. You know, are you getting my point? He starts rearranging, teaching your boy, don't do it like this, do it like this. You say, we don't do it like this. Through instructions and demonstration of how things work, you learn the next thing. One of the reasons why this is my alumni fellowship I'm going for in the next week, where I'm so excited about it, that because the first day is for ministers. And you see, there is a network I belong to. Serious people, good people with solid foundation. And we need to teach each other these things. That brethren, you might struggle in ministry today, but you have to decide whether you will continue to struggle forever by the kind of decisions you make today in the midst of struggles. Do you understand my point? That, you know, I've been warning you for 3 weeks now. Forget it works, it gets results. Forget it. Forget it. It works against results doesn't mean nothing. What means anything is that there is an accuracy of doctrine. It's in line with the recorded word of God. And there is a Holy Spirit inside you that will tell you, that will tell you the kind of thing that is. You know, Olusemeka, you were here now, yesterday. My wife wanted to say, no, she has some things in stock, and a friend of mine called from Lagos. I said that, does she have this? And I said, yes, this particular. He said, please tell her to keep it for me. I'm coming on Monday. We were sitting together when my phone rang. My wife said, I have a buyer. And the guy is giving me money. I'm looking at the money in front of me like this. He said, you know your friend now? He's not around yet. Maybe he will, you know, explanation started. Maybe he will come now and say he doesn't want it. He said, look, I need my money. Look, this, there's money now. Now, the other guy has not paid money. Just said, tell him how to keep it for me. I'll be around on Monday. You were there, Olusemeka. You know? So when she said, I said, okay, no problem. Now, he will take another one. So she hung up the phone. I said, all right. Then, you know, as I said, I'm talking about the Spirit of God. You know, what is it? You know, you can rationalize after doctrine. You know? As I was saying, I said, Olusemeka, this is not right. You know, I picked the phone. I called her again. I said, baby, please, call my friend. Ask him whether you can sell it. He has to release you because I had told him and you had agreed that you're keeping for him. I said, ask him to release you from that pledge. Persuade him if you have to. Offer him a better price than another one. Do whatever you have to do, but he must say, all right. Otherwise, you have to wait till he comes on Monday and refuse to play ball before you are free. Ha! My wife said, yeah. And that's why, those are the duties I have. Like this, my husband complicates sales a lot. She picked the phone, called the guy. The guy said, don't try it. Don't try it. I like it. I want it. Hi. All right, gradually hung up the phone, told the other guy, I'm sorry, I can't sell it to you. Then finally, the guy bought another one. My emphasis there is my spirit. As I was here, I was supposed to be walking. I kept on, I harassed him so much for 5 minutes, explaining the thing that, but it is right, it is not right, but I've learned that thing. You know, I know when my stomach is, you know, not settled. Doctrine, you know, facts, paper, you know what I mean? Letters appears and you can defend it, but my stomach said no, 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 no. And again, this is one of the ways I play the game. I put myself in the other person's shoes. If I were to travel somewhere believing something is being kept for me, maybe I saw another one I wanted to buy, and I remember that somebody is keeping one for me, and I didn't buy. And I got there, they said, well, they sold it. How will I feel? I said, no, it will be a bad thing. So I called my wife. I said, oh, girl, sorry, it's not right. Call him. The fact that you can see money is temptation. It's called temptation. It's called what? It's called what? Temptation. You can see money is temptation. But let me add another thing to you. What if he comes and says, now wow, I thought I would have money, I didn't have money again. You see now, I said it. No, no, no. What you did was right. That is the matter. If something else complicates it, it's different. What you did was what? Right. The fact that another issue came up and completed does not mean, because you see, when that was happening, you had enough information, that's what God does, to make the right decision. And you made the right decision. That's why people say, had I known, I said, you did not know. Do you get what I'm saying? Had I known, I said, but you did not know. The real regret is, and I knew, but. That's real regret. I knew, but had I known is a different matter. Eve could have said, had I known, but Adam couldn't. He knew. The Bible said the woman was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. He knew. That was why God didn't forgive him like that. Or sent him out, sent him into judgment, punishment, all kinds of things. Because it was a deliberate choice. Now, let me not forget what I was trying to explain. What was I trying to explain? That I blessed you with a blessing. It will be more honored than Zilaibu. Who gives loans to people now? I'm adding new words to it. In hundreds of millions of naira. But right now you are doing business in tens of thousands.
hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. But the decisions you are making now, do you follow? It's what God is using to decide whether I will really make you become more or not than Cecilia Ibro. You know, there's something, I read a few scriptures. Have you been blessed so far? All right, so that what I wanted to say, I've not gotten there. We'll probably leave that one till next week again. We're going to read from Jeremiah. In trying to review was what I got into this, all right? But let me just settle something on that, then I read that one again, and I will get into it. What did I say? I said God has thoughts about everything. God has ideas. Wisdom for salvation is that God begins to teach you what are the right things to do. All right? Listen to me, every child of God is blessed. You know what it means to be blessed? How easy it is to be blessed? Genuinely raise your hand and say, Jesus, be my Lord. Thank you for dying for me. If all you make are those two sentences, from the depth of your heart, you are blessed. Those two sentences have removed all the causes of harm and all the ones upon your village. You know, there are missionaries who have cost everybody in the village. You know that. I'm not joking. They entered the town. They said, peace be upon these people. They killed them. And their peace not only left with them, it was buried. And God said, it will be more tolerable from Sodom and Gomorrah than this village, than this town. Since then, all they have produced are servants, hewers of woods, and fetchers of water. Any boy that wants to do well will die suddenly. That's all they have been producing. People don't understand. Nobody tells those stories. They won't remember that 100 years ago, some people entered and said, peace be upon this village, and they were killed. I'm telling you, is it from our area? We have never produced this. That's politics. Spiritual truth is that no matter how hard you try, it won't happen. Spiritual truth is that the day you finally get one, he will die before the day of swearing in. Listen, I know what I'm saying. You can cry all you want. You shed some precious missionary blood. Ha, yeah. God said, when I want to judge people, I let my servants go there, then you kill them. Ah, hey, good. All the sins that they were committed, from the killing of Abel to the shedding of the blood of Zacharias, who died between the porch and the altar, will bring it on this generation. How do we do that? We'll give them more prophets, let them kill some more. You are getting my point. But, let me sit on my main message. Once a young woman comes from there and stops praying the prayer of the village, starts breaking the cola of the elders, listen to me, he starts pouring libation in that town, he puts forth his hand and says, Father, in the name of Jesus, have mercy on me. I believe in Jesus Christ. That statement has delivered him from that curse. Absolutely. Believe me, it has. It has. That is the gospel. That's why it's called the good news. That's why it's called what? The good news. There is no believer that's cursed. The problem believers have is that they are filled with influences from the East and they have become soothsayers like Philistines. That's all. There is no more problem with the believer than that. He fears what the people fear. He said, the Lord spoke to me with a mighty hand. He said, don't fear what these people fear. Are you getting my point? He said, there was at the words Isaiah said, he said, neither fear ye their fears, that you fear the Lord alone. Do you get what I mean? When people start thinking, I know, that's okay, what I wanted to get into today, but I don't know why this development just came to my heart, and then, well, it's good, we have been blessed, amen? All right, so we'll just sit on that, maybe we'll get into that one again next time. The only problem believers have is when they start fearing what the people fear, when they start being filled with influences from the East, when they start having regards for what the people have regards for. Are you getting my point? That is when they open the door for the devil. That's when they open the door for Satan's. That's when the so-called little witches, they start jumping up and people start, you know, people go and play. All the witches are raiding against me. You've heard me say it again and again. It's joblessness that makes you pray like that. It's a man, a woman that walks in iniquity that should remember such prayers. You're a sinner, you should pray it. When you go to your business, you label an imitation with the price of the original. He said, I didn't tell them it's original, but your price told them. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? You know, you go and buy, you remember what I said? You go and buy a fake Calvin Klein suit. It's very nice looking, but the man doesn't know. You put the price of an original on it, you have deceived him. When you do such things, go home and pray against witches. No, the other day, my wife and I were making a joke like that. He said, if somebody were to pay me money like that, he said, if I won't collect them, my leg would shake. But we turned into a big joke. He said, well, next day you go back and say, Oga, that one you bought yesterday, somebody paid for it before. Sorry, take your money back. He said, Oga, say, I like it. He said, no, I'll find you another one. I said, just deliver yourself from that course. Because if all you did was lie to him that somebody prayed for another one, that one is small. Yeah, and maybe only demon of Qatar will pass through your face. But if you collect the complete money, you will just die. Real death. He has one tumor is growing in the center of your brain. He said, what happened? He said, it's fake. It's money. It's money. She has money that's not her own. Listen, those are the only things believers need to fear. Oh, that's all. That is all. That is all. Otherwise, there's nothing to fear. Nothing. Nothing. Spiritually, nothing. You have been thoroughly redeemed. Do you get my point? Yes, you have been thoroughly redeemed. It's very simple. Just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Jesus died for me, I was told. I believe it. Thank you very much in Jesus' name. And that's it, you are free. One moment you are bound, next moment you are free. But then, there's what is called wisdom for salvation. God starts teaching you all those things you used to know, how to unknow them. Do you get my point? The things you used to practice, how to stop practicing them. Because you grew up knowing how to do some things. God now says, no, that's not right. We can't do it like that. So the next generation of Nigerians, God will teach them how to do business without demanding kickback or kick front. Do you understand my point? They will learn what they call, I saw that one long ago on TV, Small Business Today, that's the name of the program, what they call integrity marketing. One man started a marketing company, and the name of the company was Integrity Marketing. The idea is that we tell the client what he should know as a matter of truth concerning our products. And he became a successful businessman. There's no, you know all those one, you will tell one big story. That's how all America, half of Americans are in trouble now. They put some things in fine print so that the court cannot say, we didn't tell you. But you and I know that the guy wouldn't read it. He'll just ask you, he'll say, how much am I paying? You tell him. You know, there's one funny bank. I won't mention their name. They're opposite there. He said that their interest rate is 17% per annum. And he said that is lower than after all. GTB charges 19. What they don't tell you is that when GTB charges 19, it is 19. These guys, I calculated, it's actually 26 they charge. 2% maintenance fee per quarter. Put everything together, 26. It's judgment from God you are begging for. Our one is even easy. You know Americans? They will put it in small print. You will see. You need magnifying glass with your glasses to be able to read it. I was watching the other day. There's this group of lawyers who have risen up to go and defend people like that. And you know, there's a mood in every generation, you know. The judges will just be in the mood to be nullifying those contracts. Those banks are in trouble. Many of them are going to collapse because they sold to people with iniquity. You follow my point? So this man, what did he do? He started a company called Integrity Market. We will tell you the way it is. We will tell you exactly the way it is. That way we can only sell to you things that we know will really bless you. Now, these are the things that Christians must learn. I told you we are going to do what? Seeds. Spiritual, economic empowerment and development strategies. It's called, in summary, what I'm doing is teaching the way of God, the light of the Lord when it comes to doing business and development. Initially, if you're using evil to make maybe 100%, double everything every 6 months, when I finish, your profit first drop to 25 from 100. And I'm not afraid to say it. It's a matter of fact. If you were doing evil before, it will come down. But, when judgment will come upon the people who are doing evil, do you follow my point? You will be spared. And that is the day you will now be established as one dwelling in the house of God that is exalted above all the mountains and above all the hills. Then people will say, we thought it was foolish, but it was very wise. I remember one man, somebody told me some time ago, that a man preached. His church was growing. He said one day he was praying and God told him that you are just going by yourself. You are not carrying your people along. What you are preaching, if you are there here on Monday last week, I explained what it means to be building up the body of Christ or destroying it. That has to do with doctrine, what you are teaching them.
So essentially, he was no longer building up the body of Christ. That's what God was telling him. So the man changed his messages and began to preach. You know, you know, you've heard me before say it. I'm always offended when I'm called a motivational speaker. I know sometimes my message on radio motivates people. But that's not the aim. That's not the aim. What I'm trying to say is that I don't like to say things that are sweet. I say things that are true. Do you follow what I mean? Yes. That's why I will shout against iniquity even on radio. The other day I said some people who are still, they are begging to be made examples. So if you are really motivated, then you are a good man. Do you understand my point? Or you are half deaf. You know what I mean? You close your ear. You know what they call itching ears. Once I start saying things that are touching you, you stop hearing it. This man, whatever it is, he stopped all the sweet, sweet message he was preaching. He began to preach truth. I heard this story because somebody was lamenting. Say, his church used to be big before, but they are not as big as they used to be. This was many years ago. I didn't have as much understanding as I have now. Me too, I wondered then that was he right what he did? But it was a man who I knew. He was the first person that taught me a message. I was in a seminar he preached. They called Year by Year. It was my first encounter with the teaching on purpose and the will of God. I've referred to him several times. You know? And I thought about that. This man, I'm sure he knew what he was doing. So I didn't say anything. You know, it's recent times I remembered him. I said, the man just delivered himself from judgment. You hear what I said? He delivered himself. The church reduced in number at that time. Don't worry, they will still grow. How many of you know David Wilkerson? That man that wrote those books, David Wilkerson. His church, they're in thousands. He's a fire and brimstone preacher. God is coming to get you if you don't repent. That's what he preaches. Yeah, there are thousands of people there. But such people usually have thousands of serious people. Thousands of what? Serious people, not jokers. Because let me warn you again, please. Something gets quick results. Be careful, though. Be very careful, though. Ken Hagin said it then in one of his books. You know, what I say to one, I say to all. Do you get my point? And I explained something the other day about the ministry of the prophet, apostles and prophets, that why God allows the prophets to see things is because he doesn't have to show them to everybody. Once they are shown to the prophet, everybody believe the prophet. Believe this prophet, so shall you prosper. That's the way it is. He said that then God called him and said, the Lord was correcting him actually in a vision. He said he had ignored his prophetic ministry and had focused only on his teaching ministry. When in actual fact, he ignored his prophetic ministry, you understand? It was only teaching. In actual fact, God said, you're a prophet and a teacher. So prophet first and teacher second. What I want to bring out is what the Lord told him. So one day he was going, he fell and he broke his arm. All right? So he was in hospital. It was while he was recovering that he had a vision and the Lord appeared to him in the vision and he began to talk. He said, if I had not allowed you to break your hand, you were too busy, we would not have the chance to have this talk. Now you're getting my point. And if we had not had this talk, you would have continued what you were doing and you would have died at the age of 55. I mean, it makes the age, but it's something around that 50-something, between 55 and 59. I think it was 55, thereabout. So I told him simply, that's when you will have died. And everybody would have said, oh, such a great teacher, he just died. I said, yes, but he had to die because he stopped prophesying and I called him to be a prophet. He was blessing you with teaching. I'm not saying he wasn't blessing you with teaching. But the real thing I placed upon him, and until I remove him, I can't remove that thing and put on somebody else. No, this is, the spiritual things work is interesting. God will just be looking at it. Looking at it, waste of anointing. He will come out to preach, the spirit of the prophet will come upon him. When he will start, sit down there, and God will, maybe somebody sitting somewhere there, suddenly you have a vision about the person. God will show him all kinds of things, and he needs him to minister to the person. But you will say, they will say that, how did I know? I don't know, job. Then he will continue preaching. The spirit will go down. Now, this interesting part, if God doesn't take it away from his head, nobody else will be able to use it. Spiritual things has measures. They have measures. So that measure upon him will be wasted. People will be denied their blessings and their breakthrough every day because one man is afraid to prophesy. So one day God will get tired. And he'll say, give it to me. And the only way Jeremiah knows how to give it back is to cut the man's head open, put it on this side. And that is it. The fellow is dead. So the Lord appeared to him and warned him. You don't want to die early.
You better start doing what I say. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? But if he had continued his own way, he would have been getting what appears like results. So that's why I say, be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Anything you want to do in life, be careful. Am I doing it in accordance with God's order? Or I am doing it because this is what people like to hear, or this is what gets results? You know what I mean by results? If it's in keeping with God's order, do it. Do you follow my point? I've had many people tell me before, say, are you not going to start a church? I said, as things stand, I have no such idea. Why? I said, it will hinder the ministry that the Lord has given me. Now, I'm not saying it is wrong to start. One of my friends, one day, I said, oh boy, I have assessed you. I think you should be pastor of a church. I have not so assessed myself as at today. As at what? Today. People say, without being a pastor, nobody will give you respect. I can assure you of one thing. I have more respect in Enugu now than most pastors do. Yes, it's a matter of fact. I told you I went somewhere. A man said, when he heard me, thought it was God in the likeness of flesh. He said, when he saw me, he said, so you're a real human being too. Yes, it's a matter of fact. He said, if you're not a pastor, nobody will give you respect. I said, I'm not begging anybody for respect. I'm just going to discharge my ministry. Shikena. So I said, you need the church, as a base. What they mean is, as a money base. That's what they mean. I forget what that base. It's money base. So that on Sunday you can go. I said, praise God. There's a special breakthrough coming this morning. Deep your hands in your pocket. If I want to collect your money, I can do that too. I can't. You think I can? I can't. I just say, all of you, as you are coming in here, the Spirit told me that anybody with money in his pocket above 55 naira, bring it out. And I'm sure most of you have more than 55 naira in your pocket. You're in trouble. Anyway, that's just a joke. So, no, really. So that's what I'm supposed to say. You need a church base. I said, don't worry. I'm standing very sure where I'm standing right now. I have no problem. I'm not saying church is wrong. Do you follow what I'm saying? Please be very careful. I'm not saying that. What I said is that why are you doing what you are doing? Are you getting me? And believe me, if it is finances for ministry, my mind went into rest long ago. I'm believing God that any of you here will become so rich. You give me 1 billion naira. Don't break it into two. Gather it for 4 months. Chike, you here? Yes, America? Don't break it into two. One. Say, pastor, this is a draft. It's 1 billion naira. There's another 150 million on top. That one's for you. This 1 billion is for preaching the gospel. Church or no church, we will get there. In Jesus' name, we will get there.
Amen.
One day I'll just walk and say, launch one satellite, cover the whole of Nigeria with the gospel. We will do it. I forget that. In a few years' time. I don't think it's evolved to 4 years from today.
Amen.
When every household in Nigeria will be able to tune to Pastor Banky every day of the week. I don't believe it's more than 4 years from today. I really don't think so. Why should it be more than 4 years? You are getting my point. I said, God has a thought about everything. It's only when you are located in the center of God's thoughts, God's ways, that authority is conferred upon you. Now, I have not said the thing I wanted to preach today, but I hope you have been blessed. If you have been blessed, therefore, let's just begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for the power of your word.